Hi, folks. Doug McBurney here. Hey, if you're like me, you can't imagine life without three things: God, guitars, and Bob Inyart Live. And while my God will always be there for me, and my guitar is paid for, keeping Bob Inyart Live on the radio is a labor of love that demands our attention every now and then. And now is that time. September is Bob's telethon month, and he needs your help to stay on the radio for another year. Bob's presence on the mighty 50,000-watt KLT in Denver gives him the ability to consistently book A-list interviews and promote godly ideas on the terrestrial airwaves. I'm asking you to call right now or go online to purchase any or all of Bob's eye-opening Christian resources available in written, audio, or video formats. And with each new monthly subscription for the telethon or a donation of $50 or more, you will receive Bob's newest DVD, How to Be a Christian Family, as a free gift. Call 1-800-8-ENYART right now or go to kgov.com and come alongside Bob's vital ministry and keep Bob broadcasting for another year. That's 1-800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com, kgov.com right now to give Bob the essential support that only you can offer.
Warning is truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob Inyart Live.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word.
What is a worldview? Do you have a worldview? Well, of course you do. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. A Christian kid hears that in Sunday school, that we have come from dust and we return to dust, and it becomes part of his worldview. So he begins to interpret things that he sees around him based on that perspective. When he crawls under his bed to get a toy, he yells out, "Hey, Mom, there's somebody under my bed, either coming or going." Everything he sees, everything you see, you will interpret from your worldview. Your worldview includes your belief about the universe, how it got here, even what it is, where mankind came from, and where we are headed. It deals with relationships. Your worldview affects your marriage, what you say publicly about marriage and family. And it deals with laws like stealing and murder, laws involving immorality, and even government itself. Where does authority come from? These are things that flow from your worldview. Please turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, if you have a Bible handy. If you've memorized it, that'll do. A worldview might be accurate or inaccurate, or it might have a mixture of correct and incorrect elements. The more accurate your worldview, the more insight you will have, understanding the people and the events around you. And the more effective you can be at meeting challenges in your life. Let me give an example between the worldview of Hinduism and the worldview of Christianity. Hinduism teaches that God's made the universe through illusion, which they call Maya, so that ultimately the world is not real, but it obscures deity. The world is a veil that hides the supreme self, whatever God really is. One result of their worldview that the world is not real is that Hindus do not achieve great scientific breakthroughs. If hundreds of millions of people believe that the world is an illusion, then they will not collectively put a huge effort into understanding it. And so we see in history the great advance of science is not characteristic of nations like India, which have been disadvantaged by Hinduism. Compare that with the worldview presented in the Bible. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible does not teach that God obscured reality with an illusion of the universe, but rather that he actually, physically created the world that we live in. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And notice the physical light that fills the universe is not part of a deceptive illusion, just meant to trick people into thinking there's light, when really there isn't. Verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good. So many cultures in the world, religions, philosophies, teach that matter is inherently evil, that the material world is something to get beyond, an illusion to be seen for what it really is, a fraud or a deception, and the truth lies beyond it. So that you have monks and asceticism where they try to deny themselves any physical pleasure, thinking that that will get them closer to the truth. That's not at all the message of the Bible, but God made this physical world and put us in it to enjoy the pleasures that the world, the physical senses that mankind is made with, can enjoy. Through chapter 1 of Genesis, God evaluates his creation and says, it is good. He gives his opinion at the end that it's very good. So it turns out that the Renaissance, that period in history starting in the 13th century through the next few centuries, the Renaissance occurred not in Africa, not in Asia. It occurred in Christianized Europe with major figures like Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci growing up, living, and prospering, succeeding in a thoroughly Christianized society. I'm not saying that Europe back then was a very godly place. I'm not saying that. But that many of the fundamental ideas that influenced their entire society were based on biblical statements and biblical truths. From the viewpoint of the Hindu god, Brahman, the universe is unreal. Whereas Christian theists like Copernicus, Isaac Newton, Johann Kepler, Galileo, they brought mankind to a truer understanding of our world. So you see how your worldview can affect whether or not you can understand the world. If your worldview is true, then it's consistent with reality, and you'll be able to understand reality more and more clearly. If your worldview is fundamentally flawed, then reality will continue to be a mystery. The Christian theists became fathers of many branches of science, along with other Christian theists, the ones I named, and also men like Faraday, Mendel, Pasteur, Joule, Kelvin, and Lister. Men who more or less reject God's role in creation, they will interpret the facts around them and become more and more confused. For example, the ancient Greeks. From the ancient Greeks to modern Europeans, there were skeptics who conceived of a natural process whereby human beings were created through something that began in the sea millions or eons of years ago. And creatures crawled out of the sea, and through natural processes, they evolved into finally human beings. Those who want to discount God because he doesn't really fit well in their worldview, that's what they conceive of. Evolution by chance. Let's read Genesis 1:25. And God made the beast of the earth, according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And of course, the evolutionists think, well, these things happen just by chance. These wildly sophisticated life forms just happen by chance. Well, what if somebody had a digital camera? And how many pixels does a digital camera have in it these days? A couple million pixels? Digital photographs? What if we wrote a computer program to just randomly change the bits? And we just want to randomly create a picture. And we thought that we'd have Rich and Julie come up and stand up here and look at everybody and stick their tongues out. And then we want to create a program that just randomly changes the bits in a digital camera. And we want to just by chance make that same picture. Just by chance. What are the odds of that? Well, you can calculate it. If there's 2 million pixels and it's a black and white camera, what would the odds be? 2 to the 2 millionth. Very good. Must be an engineer sitting in the front row here. 2 to the 2 millionth chance. 2 to the exponent. If there are any public school teachers in the room, I'm sorry I'm getting in over your head. But 2 to an exponent of 2 million. That's the possibility you'd get that picture. Now, how about me standing in the background with my hands on my hips saying, you guys stop that. What if that were added to the picture? And then not only that, but we're going to do it 50 times, and we want it 50 times to come up with that picture of their tongues sticking out, with each one of you in turn up here pointing your finger at them saying, don't do that. What are the chances of that happening? That would never happen. It's absurd. And all that reflecting out of a mirror and somebody looking at it like Hillary Clinton saying, I told you guys were messed up. What are the chances of that picture just randomly coming on your digital camera? Would that happen? No, of course those pictures would never pop up. If you let your program run for a trillion years, those pictures would not pop up on your digital camera. They never would. Yet the odds of a creature coming into existence by chance are far beyond the odds of getting that picture with the disapproval all in the rearview mirror of Hillary putting on her makeup in her car as she's driving, looking at it. I mean, there's no way that those pictures would develop by chance or that the simplest living creature would come about by chance. So the Christian worldview states that God made all life on earth and that he specially made men in his image. Whereas the secular world has wholly given itself over to this notion of evolution by chance. Continuing in verse 26, let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let us have dominion over the earth and the animals and the bugs. In California, one particular bug lives in two counties. And so just this past week, the federal government has granted that bug protected status. So that now, fathers who have bought land, hoping to build a home on their land for their growing family, will be told, you can't build here. That bug might pass through once every 6 months. Whole communities will be barred from planting farms and building bridges in lieu of the right-of-way given to the bug. Rather than seeing that man has dominion over the animals, atheists, agnostics, and other rebels against the Christian worldview have put animals ahead of people, so that they declare it immoral to kill an animal, even though they don't believe in morality. They say there's no such thing as absolute morality, right or wrong, but it is wrong to kill an animal, and it's right to kill a baby in the womb. How is that for a mass of confusion? You can't be that confused if it were just a matter of chance. It has to be a hatred for God that drives people to that kind of insanity. They declare it immoral to kill an animal, but they celebrate the right to kill a baby girl in her mother's womb. They would protect a pig, a fetal pig, from being killed by a scientist, but they will raise money to pay for the killing of a human fetus by an abortionist. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Our worldview explains that every human being has great value. And bugs have very little value. Very little value. There's a fly that just landed on the podium. I just shoot him away by pointing at him. And we were once doing the TV show, and right before the show, a bug landed on the desk. Nice big bug, too. So the cameraman, as the credits are rolling to start the show, I said, zoom into the bug, zoom in. And he had a big full screen shot of the bug. And we came on, and I said, before the end of the show, we're going to kill this bug. Unless any liberal out there who believes that all life comes in the image of God, if you call in with a $500 offer to ransom the life of the bug, we'll spare the bug. Put your money where your mouth is. Call in with a credit card. You believe all life is in the image of God? Call in, we'll spare the bug. Otherwise, we'll kill it. About 20 minutes went by. We had the bug trapped. He couldn't get away. No liberal called in to put his money where his mouth is. One conservative called in. He said, Bob, here's my credit card number. I'll give you $501 if you kill the bug right now. It was the best money we ever made. We killed the bug. The value of men is so far above the value of animals as to be incomparable. You can't compare the value of a man with the value of animals. Yet, because of some endangered species, we'll have government bureaucrats in a forest who will say, well, there's someone with a broken leg caught in the snow 5 miles in this national preserve, but you can't go in with a snowmobile to rescue him because you might scare some species of deer. We are made in the image and likeness of God himself. Our worldview explains that every human being has great value because, as Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3, God has put eternity in our hearts. When you stomp on a bug, it's over. It's over. The bug's life, it's history. But liberals will protect bugs and not hesitate to celebrate the killing of children. We are made in the image and likeness of God himself. Wow. We have limitless potential. Just like God is eternal, we will live forever and our children. So it's so crucial that we teach our children to honor God, because each man and woman will live forever either with God or without him based upon each person's own desire. People go to heaven or hell based upon where they want to live. Denver journalist Gene Amel died recently after chronicling his last months in a daily column, what it's like to live knowing you're going to die soon. The piece that ran the morning after his death began by him saying that he had no idea whether he would exist or not now that he's dead. That's how that article started. Well, he found out right after he died that he was still in existence, because God put eternity into his heart. That all men will live forever is something that God has revealed to us. But in Gene Amel's apathy, in a world full of evidence for God, he saw none of it, or rather, he would see none of it, and he stood for those things which tear men down rather than for that which builds them up. Oh, he presents himself as a nice, folksy guy who'd rather spend time with his family than go off on some protest. Hey, just stay home and enjoy the grandkids. That sounds nice. Unless you're teaching the grandkids that there is no God, There is no hope after death. Jesus Christ was just a man. There was no resurrection. Then you see through the thin veneer of, I'm a real nice family guy. No, he was a man in a long war against God. For example, Gene Amol didn't have much respect for the Christian worldview when it states that in the image of God, he created man. Male and female, he created them. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, as we have all heard. Christians fight for the morality of our heterosexual worldview against the immorality that promotes homosexuality. And we have to fight for that. One of the greatest of perversions in our world has been seduced by it. Not because it's such a good argument, but because the world hates God. And whatever does best at turning people away from God, the world will be attracted toward. Two things that do not coexist are the open tolerance of Christianity and the open tolerance of homosexuality. Those two things are mutually exclusive. You'll have one, but not the other. And so the world today is intolerant of public Christianity. The world mocks and ridicules Christians who publicly state the most basic of Christian beliefs, so much so that many of our Christian leaders are embarrassed or ashamed to state that which they believed from childhood, or in fact, they've begun to change their beliefs. Christian leaders who begin to teach that which the world teaches on the most vile of subjects. Society will either allow the teachings of Jesus Christ in public or those of Barney Frank, Ellen DeGeneres, and Queer Nation. Christians who warn the world against homosexuality will be shunned by their own political parties, even by their own churches. Verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. Everything that he had made. Creation is not a deception. It's not an illusion, but it's real, and it was very good. But then something went wrong because mankind rebelled and we became sinful. But part of the liberal worldview, the left-wing worldview, is that men are good. The Christian worldview is that men are sinful. You see the differences that are inherent in a worldview. But even among Christians with a strong Christian worldview, they can have elements in it that are not true. Like those Christians who teach that God made evil, that God made the devil to be wicked, and he wanted Adam and Eve to sin, to bring death into their lives, to their children and grandchildren. That's not what God made. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. There was nothing evil in it. He didn't bring about sin. Your worldview affects all important things, like marriage. A worldview defines the institution of marriage. Genesis 2, if you have your Bible open, verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God instituted marriage. It's not optional for the couple that wants to live together. Marriage is not optional. It's mandatory in order to get the right to do that. And as Jesus said in Matthew 19, God decreed that marriage should be a lifetime commitment for what God has joined together. Let not man separate. That's the Christian worldview, that divorce is a serious issue, and the government should be very careful how it deals with divorce. But instead, we have no-fault divorce, just like a no-fault traffic accident. You get in a fender bender, well, rather than go to court and have a big trial, let's just have insurance that says it's nobody's fault. Let's just fix one another's car and be done with it. Well, we have that now with marriage, no-fault divorce. You have kids who will suffer terribly from a broken family, and the courts, the lawyers, the legislators have said, well, no-fault divorce, it doesn't matter. Who's at fault? It doesn't matter if one party is selling drugs or unfaithful, cheating on his wife, destroying his family, we treat them both as equal. No-fault divorce, let's just get a divorce. We Christians fight to keep marriage itself from being defiled. The very notion of marriage, because marriage is a godly institution, a godly concept, not of selfishness, but of a lifetime commitment. Is that evolution? No, evolution is you do what's best for you. God teaches us to be willing to sacrifice for the good of others, which in the long run turns out to be good for us also. So as Christians, we fight to keep marriage from being defiled by, for example, homosexuals who seek to further obscure its godly origin by promoting homosexual marriage. So we Christians, we fight for things like DOMA. Who's ever heard of DOMA out there? Let me see a raise of your hand. One, two, not too many, just a few. DOMA. The Defense of Marriage Act. Who's ever heard of that? The Defense of Marriage Act, which states that marriage includes the lifetime commitment of one man to one woman. The Defense of Marriage Act, so that liberals cannot undermine the very fabric of American society. Now, those who are not seriously committed to the Christian worldview, even at this most fundamental level, see no problem in permitting homosexual marriages. It's just devastating to watch in public as Christians, Christian conservatives will say, well, if people want to have relationships of that type, that is their right. And if states want to legalize homosexual marriages and recognize them officially, that is the right of every state. If anybody's wondering what Christian leaders would do such things, say such things, come up afterward and I'll give you the dates and times and transcripts and what they've said. That's our Christian leaders breaking with 3,000 years of written Judeo-Christian history and tradition and law, where Moses said homosexuality is against the law, and the Apostle Paul said homosexuality is against the law. And Christian leaders are saying it should be legal. And if states want to legalize homosexual marriage, that should be fine. That's how far we have gone. The humanist worldview declares that mankind is basically good, abortion is fine, homosexuality is acceptable, that man is able to achieve paradise on earth. And in different ways, these things have crept into churches. Some denominations are fully supportive of all those perversions. Other denominations are more tolerant of some and supportive of others.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. Hey, this is Bob Inyart. To hear the completion of this message, just go to our website, kgov.com. Look for today's show. Also, if you click on our store, you can get our Bible studies and our sermons and so many great resources. We think you'll love them. May God bless you.